Go ahead and be seated this morning. If you would open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. This morning's sermon, we're going to look at Christ as the prophet, the final prophet, our last sermon in our Advent series. And our text is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So hear God's word to us this morning. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by a Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Let's pray this morning. Father, we ask that you would speak to us this morning as we consider Jesus as prophet, what that would mean for us here in this Christmas season. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas tomorrow, we ask that you would help us to see Jesus as not just a baby born, but the great prophet, the one who has something to say to us. We ask that you would speak to us this morning through your word, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning's been a little different. If you're here on a normal basis, you know our services don't go like this. It's not up and down and up and down and sing and read and sing and read. It's something we do around Christmas or around Christmas Eve. I really like this service. I like it because we get to hear the story of Christ throughout the Bible. We get to hear the story of God redeeming His people. We've heard passages that tell us a story about humanity's fall and God's promise to bring about restoration. The story that we've heard this morning, we've heard read to us, is the story of a Messiah, the story of Jesus. That's the reason that we celebrate this season. As Christians, we celebrate Christmas because it's the day that we celebrate God becoming man, Jesus becoming incarnate. And over the last weeks, I know at least for the kids, my kids, the last weeks, our anticipation has been building for tomorrow. Because you know what happens tomorrow, kids? You get to open presents. So, but more than that, I hope that over the past weeks, as we've looked at various parts or various ways and various roles that Jesus fulfills, that we have had an anticipation of celebrating Christ's coming, worshiping Him for that. And this time of Advent not only helps us build anticipation for Christmas morning where we celebrate Christ's birth, but also helps us long for the day when He returns. Tomorrow is the day. We will be in full-on celebration mode. We're going to eat good food. We're going to open gifts. We're going to spend time with family and friends. And we're going to do all of that because we are celebrating the fact that Jesus came. Well, this morning, our last Advent sermon for this year, we are going to look at Christ as prophet. We've looked at Him in various ways. We've seen Him as the second Adam. We've seen Him as king. We've seen Him as priest. And today, finally, as prophet. And as we look at this text, I want to answer, the first thing I want to do is answer the question, what is a prophet? We talk about Jesus as a prophet. What do we mean? What is a prophet? Secondly, I hope that we can see here in the text that Jesus is the perfect prophet, the last prophet, the prophet that is fully God. And finally, I want us to consider why it is important to us here today that Jesus is indeed a prophet, the prophet. And so let's walk through those three sections. I want to answer the question first, what is a prophet? Now, I know that term you've heard before. And in our setting where we live, in our culture, oftentimes prophets are thought to be people who can predict the future. And that is one aspect of a prophet, biblically. That's one of the things that the prophets could do, would be to tell about the future. They didn't predict it in and of themselves. It was God telling them about the future. But there are other aspects we'll see in just a moment. But sometimes when we think of a prophet or things that are prophetic in our own days, people are simply talking about what they would call coincidences. Things that someone said and then later on, without them really knowing what was going to happen, that came true. Even this week I heard someone speaking about a prophet or a prophetic thing in that way. I saw a short video of people talking about the Super Bowl logos and the color, you know, the Super Bowl, whatever. I don't know what we're on this year, like, I don't know, 70, 80, 100, I don't know. I remember it when it was like 20. I'm getting old. And you have the numbers, the Roman numerals, and they have colors on it. Generally, the city that's hosting puts some sort of color there to reflect something about the area. And these guys were looking back at the last two Super Bowl numbers and the logos and saying they made this months before the Super Bowl, but the teams that played actually had those colors. And so then they're looking at this year's colors, trying to predict who is going to be in the Super Bowl. And they were showing it as being somewhat prophetic of who would play, even though the playoffs haven't started. That's not biblical prophecy. It's just not. It's a coincidence. It's something that might have happened. God orchestrated it, but whoever's making those logos is not picking the teams they know are going to be there and then reflecting that in the logos. It's not really a prophetic prediction. I've heard people talk about old TV shows that showed what the future was going to be like, and those things come to pass, and they're like, oh, they were so prophetic. No, they were just making a TV show. If we want to know what a prophet is, we can look. We can look here in God's Word, in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we find many prophets. We read from a couple of them this morning. We've read from Isaiah, from Micah. We've heard them speak. And in the nation of Israel, in the Old Testament, there was an office of prophet. There was an office of priest, an office of king, an office of prophet. And the prophet functioned alongside the king and priest, and they had a specific role and job. You see, the priests were the ones who made atonement for the people. The king were the ones who were supposed to lead people in righteousness and towards God in faithfulness to His law. And the prophets, they functioned as God's mouthpiece to the people. That's what prophets are. Prophets are ones that God uses to speak to His people. Biblically, that's what a prophet is. Now, we could talk about the Old Testament prophets, or we could look here today in Hebrews. If you would, look with me at Hebrews chapter 1, and we get our definition. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. He's telling us, the author of Hebrews is telling us what the prophet's job is. A prophet is one that God used to speak to His people. They were not seers of the future in and of their own ability. They didn't have magic balls. They couldn't see into the future on their own power. No, it was God speaking to them, and then they would relate God's word to the people. Sometimes it was about the future. In fact, we've read today, you've heard read to you, many times in the Old Testament where the prophets spoke about the future, about a coming Messiah. And most times when the prophets spoke, they spoke about the present day, the day of the people. They warned the people They encouraged the people. They told of promises and hope. They called for repentance. They did all of these things on God's behalf as He spoke through them for the people. So what is a prophet? As we think about Christ, as Jesus as a prophet, what is a prophet? Simply, prophets are the ones that God used as His mouthpiece. Now, let's think about Jesus as a prophet. This is a hard text, a hard topic, because many people who would not claim to be Christians, that would be from other religions, would say, yeah, Jesus was a prophet, and that's all that He was. He's more than that. He's not just a prophet. He's the perfect prophet, the last prophet. And I don't think at Christmas we really think of Jesus in this way. We think of him as a baby. We think of him as the incarnate God. We think of him as the long-awaited Messiah. All of those things are correct. We think of him as king, and we think of him as priest. But he's also prophet, the final, the perfect prophet. In fact, the author of Hebrews tells us that. Look back here at the text with me. Long ago, at many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And then verse 2, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. Right here in Hebrews chapter 1, God spoke through the prophets, and now He speaks through Jesus. Jesus takes the role as the perfect and final prophet. This prophetic role is connected to Him. But Jesus isn't like the prophets before. Many people who aren't Christians would say, oh, yeah, Jesus was just a prophet. No, He's not like the other prophets. In fact, look at the end of verse 2. If He was just a prophet, then He would not be the heir of all things. He would not be the agent of creation. Jesus being the heir of all things, being the agent of creator of all creation, makes Him not just a prophet, but the perfect prophet. We read in John 1 today that in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were made through Him. This Word is Jesus. He's not just any prophet. He is God speaking. He is God speaking to us, not through another prophet, not through some mediary down. No, Jesus is God speaking directly to us. You know, prophets had something to say. That's why they're called prophets. Jesus has something to say. And being God incarnate, He has a very important word for us. In fact, it's so important that Peter writes about it, speaks about it. Acts chapter 3. He quotes Moses, another prophet, in Deuteronomy 18. And Peter says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him, and whatever he tells you, it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Peter is telling us that what Jesus has to say is vitally important, because if we don't listen, we will be destroyed from the people. We would do well to listen to this prophet's words of salvation. What does he have to say? What does Jesus have to tell us? Well, Jesus proclaims that He's the Messiah. And in a moment, we'll talk about why that's important. He talks about this in multiple places. One of my favorite ones to go to is in John chapter 4. Starting in verse 19, Jesus is in Samaria, and He's met the woman at the well, and He's told her about her husband's and how she's not married to the one that she's living with now. And this is how she responds, and then we see Jesus' interaction with her. The woman said to Him, "Sir, I perceive that You are a prophet." All right, so stop there. She understands Jesus is a prophet. And then she goes on, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is here now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said to Him, I know that Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. And when He comes, He will tell us all things. Now let me stop there for a moment. She understands that what He's talking about is that when the Messiah comes, He is going to redeem all of His people. She says, I understand that is going to happen in the future. And in verse 26, this is what Jesus says. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. He says, I am the Messiah. This is what Jesus has to tell us. The great prophet is telling us that He is the Messiah. The long-awaited Messiah, the one that will come to redeem His people, the one who is going to reverse what has happened in Genesis chapter 3. We read that this morning. We read the account of the fall. Adam and Eve were there. They ate of the fruit they weren't to eat. And from that point on, we all suffer the consequences. We all are sinners. And Jesus is telling this woman, I am the one. I am the one who's coming to pay the price for sins. See, He goes on to tell us something else very important in John's Gospel. John 14:6, many of you probably know this one by memory. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the prophet, the final, the perfect prophet, God incarnate coming to speak to us, God Himself speaking. And what does He have to say? He has to say that He is the one who has come to make things right, to make it possible for sinners to be reconciled back to God. And there's only one way, and that is through Jesus, having faith in Him. So what does that mean for us? The last part of this, the last thing we have to consider as we think about Jesus as prophet, what does it mean? It means that there's only one way to be part of God's people. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus. And some of you may be asking, why do I even care? I don't care about being one of God's people. Who cares? Well, let me tell you something. Ever since Genesis 3, we read of the fall, ever since then, every single person that has been born has been a sinner, including you. And I think you know it to be true. You've broken God's law. You've done things that were wrong. We could go through the Ten Commandments and you would probably very easily go, yes, I have done that at least once in my life. And if you've even done that once, you've transgressed God and you deserve His full wrath. And we cannot escape on our own. We cannot be reconciled back to God on our own. There is only one way. And the final prophet, the incarnate God, Jesus Himself, has told us how? Through Him. You see, He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He never transgressed those laws because He's God. He's perfect. And then He went to the cross. And on that cross, He became a sacrifice to us. He took on our sins, and the wrath due to us was poured out on Him. And because He's God, He was able to extinguish it fully. And then He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Having faith in Jesus is the only way to be reconciled back to God and have His wrath moved away from you and turned towards Jesus. You know, He's going to come back one day. And when he comes back, all of his people who have trusted in him will live with him for all eternity. By faith. Those who have believed and placed their faith in him. That means believing that all of these things about Jesus are true and then trusting in them, clinging to them, putting our hope in them. If you haven't trusted in Jesus during this season, why not? We do all of this. We put up trees and have gifts. We sing songs. We decorate. We do all of that because we are celebrating Jesus. If you haven't turned to him, there's no better time than now. You know, these are good words. These are words of good news from Jesus. And for those of us that are Christians, this should give us a hope. It should reinvigorate us as we celebrate Christmas. It should make our celebrations more exciting. We're not just giving gifts for the sake of giving gifts. We're giving gifts because we are modeling and showing what Jesus has done for us. As we open gifts tomorrow, remind one another of Christ and his work. We're not just being nice to one another. We are modeling. We're showing that God came incarnate and laid his life down for his people. And he freely gives it to all those who believe. Kids, teenagers, I was in your shoes. It was a long time ago, but I do remember. I remember the excitement of waking up on Christmas morning, the only day of the year when you want to get up before your parents. And I remember the only day of the year I felt like they wanted to sleep in. And you had that excitement to open those gifts. When you tear into them tomorrow, I want you to know that those gifts that your parents and grandparents and family members and friends give you, they're not just gifts alone. They have significance. They're showing you that there is a greater gift to be had. The gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus. You too can turn to him. As you're playing with your toys and you're enjoying your new clothes and the things that you got tomorrow, use them as a physical reminder that there's a greater gift. As we close out today, I want you to be encouraged by the great prophet, the final prophet, the perfect prophet, Jesus, who has spoken to us. Spoken to us words of hope and words of salvation. He is the Savior. Trust in him and then celebrate him tomorrow. I'm going to close this in prayer. When we're done with that, we're going to have our offering and then sing our last hymn, our Joy to the World, and then we'll have our benediction and a few quick announcements. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for Jesus. We are so thankful that you have sent this prophet, this perfect Savior to speak to us, to tell us about his work and to give us these words of life. Now, during this season, would you help us? Help us to not get caught up in the giving and receiving just for that alone. Would you help us to see that giving and receiving as pointing towards a great work that Jesus has done, where he freely gives his work to his people. But Father, we ask that tomorrow would be a great celebration of Jesus, that we would rejoice in your goodness and your kindness to us, and we would rejoice thinking about all that Christ has done. And Father, now we ask that you would find our giving pleasing to you. We ask that you would find it as a part of our worship as we entrust to you or give back to you what you've entrusted to us. And Father, we pray all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.